Hi, I'm Fred Schonenberg, and thank you for joining me on the Venture Fuel podcast. At Venture Fuel, we help companies find new solutions by partnering with the best startups from around the world. On the show, you'll learn the secrets of business leaders who tap into startups and the founders driving extraordinary results. We'll consider new ideas, stretch our mindsets beyond the status quo, and in the process, discover how to leap the competition and fuel personal growth. On today's show, I'm speaking with Kathy Hackle, one of the most influential futurists on the planet. Kathy specializes in how emerging technologies like AI, AR, and 5G will impact our futures, and she guides businesses on how to capitalize on these new realities. She has been named the top 10 most influential women in tech. She's a two-time LinkedIn top technology voice, and she was just named to the Thinkers 50 Radar, which is basically the Oscars of management thinking, where she was described as, quote, the CEO's private guide to the metaverse. Doesn't get much better than that. She formerly worked at Magic Leap, HTV Vive, and today we're going to talk about spotting opportunities, fads versus trends, the augmented workforce, and how AI, AR, and 5G will impact every dollar you make. So let's get after it. Kathy, welcome to the show.
Well, I'm so happy to be here. Thanks for the invitation.
Of course. Well, so usually this time of year, you and I would have spent a week in Vegas, if not more, running around for CES. And this year I decided I was just going to follow you on LinkedIn and save all the hangover.
Yeah, I feel it's really weird because, you know, normally just like you and I, like we all make the pilgrimage every year to Vegas, right? To CES, to see the tech, to touch the tech, to like get there and meet the people. And this time it was virtual, but it was still quite fun. You know, I had a great time. I'm happy that people, like I had a lot of people reach out and say, I feel like I'm there, or I'm following your posting. And I feel like at least I'm getting a little sense of CES again. So that was great. I mean, obviously very different show than what we would do when we were there in person, but still lots of great news. And I'm glad that they were able to kind of pivot and bring a good tech show really to the virtual space.
Yeah, I think they did a great job. And I certainly missed the, you know, kind of running into all the different people that inspire different ways to think and trying some of the tech hands-on. But I felt you did a great job of kind of curating what was the best of the best. Curious what, is there anything that jumped out to you this year that wowed you the most? And I know you're so in on all of this stuff. Some of it may have been things you've been looking at for a long time, but just looking at some of the posts you put out recently, haptic gloves, Panasonic's VR, there was the contact lens AR, LG had a virtual AI-powered human presenter. There's some immersive 3D art experience for the Met VR workouts. What was it that stood out for you this year?
I think the overall idea that really stood out to me is that AR and, you know, and XR, like the umbrella term for AR, VR, and all the other realities that might come, right? That XR is starting to become a full funnel medium. And by this, what I mean is that it's not only about virtual try-on, which is what people usually think, like, oh, try on the lipstick or see the couch right in my house. It's about XR being a full funnel medium that can impact every step of the customer journey from the beginning. So that that awareness of the brand, getting people into the funnel, purchase, and then post-purchase. And when I think about post-purchase specifically, I think about virtual humans and customer service and everything that comes there. So yeah, it wasn't one thing that I would say I was so excited. I think it's more like seeing it all come together across so many different verticals and so many applications and getting a better understanding that it is a full funnel medium that will seriously impact, you know, conversions and sales and how people purchase things in the future or already are purchasing things.
It's so interesting, right? Because it's, you have that first moment of there's something new. There's a new reality. And it usually is very gadgetized, right? Everyone's trying one game or one demo and you get excited. And then people sort of have that, you know, the trough of disillusionment. What's really interesting, I think, that you're bringing up is now all of a sudden it's almost like it's matured, right? It's become this full funnel commerce type of platform, or it doesn't have to necessarily be commerce, but experience. It's a very interesting sort of progression of those technologies.
Yeah, I mean, it's exciting to see the technology advancing and moving past just, you know, being in one activation to actually thinking through how does this impact the customer journey in the long run? I think the other thing that really struck me is the idea of seeing these technologies have an impact in the employee experience. So we're very focused on customer experience, right? But also thinking through how has the pandemic, right, accelerated the use of these technologies and how does that impact employee experience? Because what I'm seeing, and I think the trend that you can attest to, is that in some ways, EX or employee experience is slowly becoming as important as CX, as customer experience. These are two very important things. And, you know, AR and VR, in some ways, in my point of view, hold the key to unlocking EX's full potential.
That's super interesting. I actually have not heard the phrase EX, so I love that. We need more X's and R's in our language. I think what's very interesting too, and a question that I was going to ask you, which is, you know, why should a large company that isn't in the tech or hardware business pay attention to these emerging tech trends? And I think you almost just answered that question, is that the technology is sort of enabling all parts of our business. But we'd be curious if, you know, a company that doesn't consider themselves in the emerging tech field, why should they pay attention to things like, you know, 5G, AI, AR? What's your sort of pitch to them?
I think there's two different currents here. And one of them is the people they will hire, the people they will need to retain, and the people they need to train, right? So from that perspective, I think companies need to look at these technologies because it's going to allow them to attract younger talent, talent that's going to come in. You know, Gen Z is starting, you know, it's getting into the workforce. They're going to expect those brands to be innovative in how they train them and retain them. It's going to allow, you know, people to get upskilled a lot faster. If you look at the World Economic Forum that put out the 10 skills for 2030. And one of them is upskilling, relearning. You know, these technologies are great at allowing someone to become an augmented worker, right? To allow them to do a task they weren't able to do before and train a lot faster. So that's one piece of the puzzle. The other one is this one. And I think this is where it becomes critical. It's not a question of, will this happen? It's a question of when. When we move away from our mobile phones, right, our, you know, rectangles in our hands and the rectangles on our desks, when we move away from these flat screens and move away from mobile phones into wearables, you know, that what seems more logical at first will be glasses. The reality is that what you see through your glasses right now, if anyone's listening to this and wearing glasses and looking around, and look, even if you're not wearing glasses and you're looking at everything, everything that you see around you is 3D and has volume, right? And I think that this is the important part, is that when we move from that phone, which is a flat screen, into glasses, am I really going to want to see a whole bunch of flat screens in front of me? Because that's normally the picture that you see when someone depicts AR. And it lacks creativity and imagination because you're going to want to see things that are dimensional, that have volume. And I think that that is where it becomes incredibly important for companies to understand that we're moving away from these flat surfaces into content in our reality, and how does that change your product, your menu, your service, everything? When people walk into your, you know, your hospital or your dentist office, are they going to be expecting spatial programming, spatial as in the space, not space? You know, we can talk about space marketing any day too, but more of the spatial activations and information in the location that they're at when that physical and digital world collide. So I think that that is where, same as with the internet, same as with apps and phones, same as with social networks, the people that say, oh, my company will never need that, you know, maybe it will in the future.
One of the reasons large established companies look to startups and emerging technologies is to be in front of what's next. Not only does this provide a competitive advantage in that you're moving faster than anybody else in your space, but it also attracts and retains emerging talent. One of the intangibles of innovation is a more inspired workforce that is loyal and energized about your business. I love the title, if you will, and I don't know, maybe it'll change over time, but the working title that I know of for your upcoming book is How Will AI, AR, and 5G Impact Every Dollar We Make? Can you just expand on that title? Because I think it's a very powerful statement on the future of augmented work.
Yeah. So like you said, it's called The Augmented Workforce, How AI, AR, and 5G Will Impact Every Dollar You Make. And the thesis is this. I think people tend to think technology and to think only like the robots taking over the jobs and, you know, Terminator. And they tend to be very dystopian about things. And we're not naive about, you know, job replacement and automation. We know that's going to happen and everything. But the thesis of the book is that we don't need to necessarily see technology only as something that's going to, you know, substitute us, but to see technology as something that's going to augment us, a complement to the worker, allowing the worker to do other jobs, allowing us to upskill, creating new jobs. So that's the thesis of the book, is instead of approaching technology kind of as, you know, AI doom and gloom, is more like, how can I look at these technologies? How can I unlock these technologies for the full potential of my workforce and of myself as a professional in the different industries and really take advantage of them? So in the book, we have frameworks. We have something called the Five Commandments of the Augmented Workforce. And, you know, we feature lots of different industries and lots of different experts. I'm excited about the book. I think it's a really good piece of work. And it's a positive thesis that takes us away from being negative about technology without being naive, but also allows us to think through technology as something that's going to allow us to upskill the workers, to retrain the workers, and allow people to be an augmented workforce.
I love that. Yeah, I can't wait for it to come out. I was equally excited when we talked before we started recording, the fact that you're done on your end, and then saddened by how long it takes for it to come out. So we'll be watching closely for that. I wanted to try something a little bit new here. You're one of the hardest interviews to prepare for because there's so many different things that you know about and that you talk about. And so what I wanted to try is just maybe spouting off a phrase or two, and you just tell me what your thoughts are on it. And the first one is the metaverse, or metaverse onomics, excuse me. I'd love to get your thoughts on the metaverse.
Do you want me to just do one word or just like a phrase, or is it like a rapid fire thing?
Just rapid fire, just what you think about it, like a quick sentence or two. Because I think some of these things get too out there for some folks, but I also want to unpack it a little bit.
All right, let's do it. I'm game. Let's do this.
All right, let's go. So let's go metaverse.
Opportunity.
So what is the metaverse to you? What is that opportunity? Maybe thinking about it from a business standpoint.
From a business standpoint, it's this. Right now we have a physical world that is finite, right? There's only so much land. There's only so much water. There's only so much certain things, right? And with technology, we're going to be able to, you know, hopefully, you know, help with the water, with water issues and stuff. But I think when you go into the metaverse, it becomes this, you know, economy that is not finite. It's infinite. There's so many possibilities in the virtual space and in the world of virtual goods that is, yeah, it's just amazing opportunities that lay ahead.
I love it. Let's keep this up. So one word response, and then we'll dive into it. That's super fun. Direct to avatar.
Fashion.
Fashion.
I mean, yeah, fashion. I'm really excited about direct to avatar. I think about fashion, and this is why I do this. Why I think about fashion is because, you know, when I was growing up, my brother and his friends would save all their allowance to buy Air Jordans, right? Yeah. That was the thing that they wanted. Nowadays, my kids save all their allowance to buy Robux, which is the digital currency inside Roblox, to buy skins for their avatars. So that's their fashion statement, right? Those are their Air Jordans. And it's about, you know, the fashion, the way we use fashion to express ourselves in the physical space, but also in these digital spaces.
You brought up a sore subject. I begged my mom for Air Jordans from age 10 to 21. On my 21st birthday, I got a pair of Air Jordans. And I still to this day, like anytime I want to splurge for myself personally, even though I don't play basketball anymore, Air Jordans the way to go. So now you're going to tell me my son is going to be buying the skins. I love it. Okay, cool. Yeah. Cyber crimes.
Prevention. I just took a really interesting class at Harvard Kennedy School. And I think, you know, it made me a little paranoid, to be honest. After the class, I was like changing all my passwords and doing all these other sorts of things. But I think it's prevention in the sense that we need to be better prepared to really understand what are the threats. And one thing that really I came away with, maybe the word is not prevention, it's unpeace. Let me change the word. I'm going to do that because there's no rules here. One of the things that came away with was the idea of cyber threats and cyber war. In the regular sense of the words, right? You think about war and peace, right? War is a kinetic action as we understand it, right? And peace is, you know, when there's no kinetic war happening. But with cyber war, it's a state of unpeace, right? So there's this whole thing happening where, what is cyber war? It's not kinetic war. What are the rules of engagement? So it's just a really interesting perspective. And one of the things that I think is incredibly interesting is to look at the new administration and what they're trying to do in investments in cyber and, you know, getting more people trained to come into the, you know, into cybersecurity, work for CISA or work with other companies and make it, you know, more exciting for kids to see cybersecurity as a career path for them in the long run.
Love it. Two more. You brought it up and I never heard it before. EX.
Work. I would say the word is work. So EX is employee experience. I think that the concept and the idea of work have changed, right? When my parents, you know, were working, people would work in the same job for many years. Nowadays, I'm part of a generation, I'm an older millennial and part of a generation of people that, you know, we move around, we jump from here to there. That's just what we do. And I think that if you think about statistics, there's a statistic that says that half of all the children born today are going to live to be 102 and 103. So that's a long time to live. Those are going to be many careers. And I think the idea of work is going to change and it's going to mold. And at the end of the day, employee experience will be as important as customer experience.
I love it. Last one, startup.
Fun.
Fun.
The only reason I say that is you mentioned I used to work at Magic Leap, a very interesting startup. I went in wholeheartedly believing in this company. I still think that they have a great product. But, you know, it was just beautiful to work there. It was so much fun, you know, walking around the office and seeing, you know, the gesture lab or seeing people working on these really cutting edge futuristic things was fun. I wake up every day missing my Magic Leap job, in all honesty. And it was fun. It was exciting. And yeah, startup world is fun. I mean, it's obviously stressful too, but yeah, that's the word that came to mind.
I love it. And I think what's really interesting and sometimes overlooked is the fun that startups have with everybody that gets involved with them. Because we do a lot of partnerships between startups and large corporations. And the feedback we get when we talk to the corporates is the level of engagement, right? So the employee experience is through the roof because there's hopefulness, there's opportunity. You can go out and break stuff. It's like untethered. So I love that. So let me ask you this. I said the phrase overlooked. What technology do you think right now is overhyped? And then what technology do you think is overlooked?
I don't want to necessarily use the word overhyped. I don't think it's overhyped because it should be hyped. But I do think we over-index. I'll change your word from overhype. I think we over-index on the AI without thinking about the other technologies. You know, I like the term spatial computing, and I like to think about the metaverse and how all these technologies come together. The way I see it when we talk about the metaverse, for example, it's when the world becomes machine-readable and likable and clickable. In some ways, that's where we meet the machines. Humans meet the machines because we're going to be able to see the same data. So I feel like sometimes AI takes over the whole conversation, where I'm not trying to say that AR needs to take over the whole conversation, but I think that because, you know, we're cousins and it, or, you know, I don't even know if we're cousins, maybe we're twins, but I think that they should kind of be kind of part of the same conversation. And I see that a lot here in DC where I live. It's all very, very focused on AI without thinking of the massive implications that the metaverse will have on business, on education, and on living. And you cannot leave that behind in the conversation. So from, let's say, over-indexed instead of overhyped. And then maybe the one that is not getting as much coverage or love, or that I think is incredibly important, is brain-computer interface. I think people are a little afraid of that and they can't quite wrap their heads around it. But I think brain-computer interface, from the way that we interact with technology, is quite interesting. You know, right now, most of the people that are listening to this are probably on their phones, or they might be on their computers, and they might be interacting with their computer through a mouse. But is the mouse and the keyboard the most natural way to interface with technology? It is what we have now, right? And they're great inventions. But what comes after that? What is going to be the most natural way to interact with technology?
So let me ask you that follow-up. You said, what's going to come after this? Like, what is on the way? What's 5 to 10 years out that people aren't paying attention to that you think is going to upend the way we do things?
Oh, so many things. I recently got asked to do an interview for something really interesting. I can't really get into it, but they made me think about the future of everything, from the future of pets to the future of, the future of cereal. I don't know. There's so many things out there that are going to change the way we interact. I think the one thing that will remain the same is that we're human, right? And that we crave social experiences. We crave belonging. And I think that that'll be interesting. So yeah, I don't have one technology that I think is going to be like impacting everything.
Right.
What I will say, one of the things I'm excited about and that I'm really kind of looking at is not only the metaverse, but also space. Space makes me really excited. So let me backtrack on that. Actually, I will tell you this. This is what I see. I see that in the next century, we're starting the third decade of this new century. And in this century, it's a century of exploration and expansion into three realms that I find quite interesting. the mind, you know, both our minds, so brain-computer interface, but also the idea of intelligence, both human and artificial, then space. I think there's so much happening in the space side of things, that exploration outside, so outward exploration towards space, and then inward exploration as well into these virtual worlds and these metaverses and these digital economies. So maybe I didn't answer your question, but...
I love it. And I also, I'm dying to know what you think the future of cereal is. Seriously, like, I don't know why that's the thing. Like, all that was so brilliant. And I'm like, but wait a second, like, is cereal going to change?
It might, you know, there's a whole study. I mean, there's research done about millennials and cereal and killing cereal. So yeah. Oh, no. What is the future of cereal? I don't know. I think cereal's going to live on.
I really think I need to change this podcast because all I want to talk about is Air Jordans and cereal. So we'll have to change the format. In all seriousness, though, so what should we be asking you that maybe I'm not? Is there something that you want to share about what you're up to or what you're excited about that we haven't covered?
Yeah, I think for me, I've started to kind of grow in my career. I've gotten, you know, you said the Thinkers 50 radar recognition. There's a lot of wonderful things starting to happen for me. And I kind of, at the beginning of the year, sat through this and thought about, okay, what is my impact in the world, right? I'm a champion for diversity and technology, and like, what can I do? So one of the things I'm exploring is doing a lot more with helping women in technology specifically, help them with their personal brand, because I've been able to build a very successful personal brand, leverage it into amazing roles and amazing opportunities. And I get, you know, a lot of people, a lot of women sometimes reaching out and saying, how'd you do it? What did you do? And I feel that it's my time to kind of help and maybe offer some way for other women to learn from my tips and tricks, let's say, and allow them to leverage, you know, who they are in the technology sector, which, you know, can be quite tough at times for women. So yeah, I'm thinking through how can I give back? How can I work with women to help them get to where I am? You know, I want to be that beacon of hope, that example, that leader of the future.
I love that. So Kathy, where can people learn more about you and your work? Is there a place you want to send folks?
Yeah, LinkedIn is definitely where I share a lot of great, you know, just ideas and things that come through my mind. So find me on LinkedIn, Kathy Hackl, H-A-C-K-L. I also contribute to Forbes, write interesting pieces. One of my latest ones is The Future of Fraud. So I talked about Frankenstein IDs. So if anyone's interested in understanding what that is, go to the article. And also, you know, I have a podcast called The Future Insiders and a newsletter called Futuresville. And I will be rebranding my podcast as Futuresville as well, making it a little bit more fun. So yeah, I'm kind of all over the cyberspace, but go and find me.
I love it. Well, Kathy, this was such a pleasure. Really appreciate your time and sharing all your thoughts with us.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks so much for joining us. If you enjoyed the show, please subscribe wherever you're listening and be sure to hit us up at Venture Fuel on LinkedIn. It's where we drop all sorts of info on new episodes and emerging opportunities, including this Thursday's event, Revolutionizing How We Connect, which is featuring the visionaries of the year from Clorox, Next Ventures, and Run the World. Just go to VentureFuel at LinkedIn. You'll see all the info and how to RSVP. Until next time.